Hey, thank you, worship team. Hey, good morning, Rev City. You can be seated. Come on, who's glad to be in the house of God this morning? Let me hear from you. I'm grateful for what the Lord's done in your life. And I'm excited to bring this message to you this morning. I really want to challenge you with some things this morning, people of God. And, you know, I want to be a part of a church that encourages me and comforts me. And we do those things for you and for people when they go through things. But I also want to be a part of a church that challenges me to become the best version of the godly man that God has called me to be. And I hope that you'll receive some things this morning that I want to challenge you to because of what I believe is possible for you as we enter into a new year. And I don't know what 2019 was like for you. Maybe it was good. Maybe it exceeded your expectations. Maybe it was challenging. Maybe there were some unforeseen things. Maybe there were some hurtful moments, some painful moments, some disappointments. Here's what I know in a room this size and just with a length of a year is chances are for you it was all of the above. That in some area of your life, you know, things went pretty well. And maybe there was another area of your life where this thing over here was going pretty well. But this area over here, this relationship over here, you're blessed over here. But this area, there was a trial, there was a struggle, there was a problem, there was an unforeseen challenge or an obstacle. And, you know, here's the good news is that regardless of what 2019 looks like or looked like for you, it's a new day. And it's a new year. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that God created things to operate in seasons and cycles. And he created it to set it up this way that we'll get the opportunity to take another trip around the sun and call it a new year in 2020. We have the opportunity to look back on 2019 and to get real with ourselves and to just have some perspective about the things that went well, the things that maybe we're out of our control that didn't go well, or the things that maybe are within our control that we want to do different in 2020. And so I want to encourage you, seize the opportunity to reflect on what this previous year looked like for you in every area of your life that's important to you and important to God. And to take the opportunity to really say this morning and really invite this morning the Holy Spirit to speak into your life, to strengthen you or encourage you, and in maybe some ways challenge or convict you about some things that you want to put your hands to in a different way, that you want to present to God in a different way, that you want to trust and search and seek God for in 2020 so that it goes differently than 2019. And listen, I want to encourage you, be real with God. As we go through this message this morning, don't hide or hold back things from God that happened to you in 2019 or things that are in your heart. Be real with God. James, the book of James says, confess our sins to one another that we may be healed. And the concept behind that is just be real with God. Like as long as you're holding on to that and hiding it in your heart, there's really not an opportunity for God to really deal with it. But if you're willing to be real with God and say, God, I went through some stuff. I intended to do it this way, but I kind of slipped and I stumbled, or I fell and I didn't go. It didn't go. I didn't do what I wanted to do, and it didn't go the way I thought it would go. And I want to live this way, but instead I live this way. And the Apostle Paul was so familiar with it. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. There's a struggle in my flesh and my spirit is battling. And there's a battle that's being waged over your life. But get real with God this morning. And to the degree that I believe this, to the degree that you're willing this morning to really get real with God and really present some things before God. Come on, the condition of your heart. Some mindsets or patterns of behavior, things that you fell into in 2019, that to the degree that we're willing this morning, I really believe this, to get real with God. So the degree that we have the opportunity to see things shift for 2020. When you get real with God, it's not when he finds out about your stuff. It's when we begin to have access to the grace and the empowerment to be set free of that stuff. And begin to apprehend some things and see some things differently and grab a hold of some things that allow us to live differently in 2020. Get real with God this morning. He knows the struggles that you had in 2019. He knows the things that you had some good ideas and some good intentions that didn't materialize. He knows all those things. Get real with him. And I believe if we'll do that this morning, I really believe that there's some things that God wants to show us in his word and some invitations that he's going to give us individually as men and women of God And corporately, as the church family, this body of believers known as Rev City Church, that I believe if we'll grab onto those things, I really believe that 2020 has a chance to be an amazing year. Did not say a year without problems or difficulties or adversity or unforeseen things. I'm talking about a year in which we are closer to, nearer to, and deeper in the things of God, where it doesn't matter what we go through. Because he's with us and he's for us. And there's a strength that we're drawing upon that's not our own strength. And there's a grace that we're depending upon that is not of our own strength. So be real with God this morning. Grow closer to God in 2020. And start this morning by saying, God, some of the things that I've hid or held back this morning, I'm willing to allow you to come and to just be who you are in my life, a gracious, good Heavenly Father whose heart is filled with mercy, slow to anger, full of forgiveness, mercies that are new every day, to begin to just help me and heal me and restore me and strengthen me so that 2020 really can be the greatest year to date. Come on, does that sound like a good idea this morning? Can we do that this morning together? And so let's pray. Let's pray and let's ask God to do that very thing in your heart this morning. I'll pray corporately over us, but come on, people of God, right where you sit this morning, woman of God, man of God, yeah, pray. You know what you're going through. You know what you're up against in 2020. And so would you personally just open your heart and invite God to speak to you this morning? And invite God to heal you or strengthen you in the ways that you need to be healed or strengthened this morning. And so, Lord, we do. We thank you. We look back upon this previous year, and there's so many things in so many ways, Lord, that we look back, we have to be grateful for, Lord. Just ways that you were faithful, even in the midst of situations that were difficult. And, Lord, we thank you that this day represents, and what this new year, the calendar turning represents, an opportunity to just take stock, to take inventory, to just get real with you. And to Lord, just thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, your forgiveness, your goodness, your faithfulness, Lord. Even in the times where we aren't faithful, Lord, you're just always faithful, and we're so thankful. And Lord, in light of that, just the acknowledgement about your goodness and your faithfulness to us, even through maybe unforeseen or difficult times, the good and the bad of this previous year, Lord, we just say, come and speak to us today in a way that really shifts and changes, Lord, who we are today, that 2020, Lord, that we would approach some things differently, see some things differently, Lord. See some things more clearly, Lord. We would apprehend some things in a new way or a fresh way, Lord, that allows us to understand and have a deeper revelation, Lord, about who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. Everything that Jesus died and rose again to make possible for me, I want it in 2020, God. And all the things that have held me back from apprehending and receiving and experiencing and walking those things out, Lord, I want to lay those things down. And we thank you today for your grace to do that very thing today, Lord, that this would be a year of drawing near to you, growing close to you, and going deeper in you, in the name of Jesus. And come on, every man and woman of God said, amen, amen, amen. So I want to talk to you about 2020 vision. And, you know, as I was praying and preparing for the sermon series I would bring in January as we start the new year, it was just really like a softball for a preacher to preach on 2020 vision, you know. And it was so, it almost comes across a little bit cliche, so much so, candidly, I really was challenged about, do I really want to do that? And the Lord just quickly began to just speak to me and remind me about how significantly important it is that you have a vision for your life. And it is important. And he also began to challenge me and just show me some ways and things that he wants me, and he wants me to speak to us so that we begin to see what vision is a little bit differently. It's important that you have a vision for your life from God, for your marriage from God, for your future from God, for your finances from God. And you can only get a vision from God by spending time with God. It's vitally important. Proverbs 29:18 says that without a vision, another translation says, without a prophetic revelation, the people perish. Another translation says they cast off restraint. In other words, if there's not something that you're living for, and pointing towards, and moving forward towards. It says people live carelessly and make decisions carelessly. But when you get a vision for God, come on, I mean from God, about who it's really possible for you to be and become. As a man of God, as a follower of Christ, as a son of God, as a disciple of Jesus. For what's really possible when you become a woman of destiny and a woman of purpose, called by his name, known by your Father, covered in his presence. Him, his goodness going before you, leading and guide you, and you, as you come in and go out, when you really begin to discover those things, that kind of a God-given vision, what's in his heart for you and for your future, it causes you to begin to live differently. It causes me to begin to realize that's why I say no to that thing, because I'm saying yes to what God has invited me to. I can't be that version of who God's called me to be as a husband, as a man, as a father, as a leader in my community, as an influencer of people, as a salt and light, and an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I can't be that version of me if I say yes to that thing, so I'm saying no. And I can't be that version if I say no to that thing, so I'm saying yes to God's word. And I'm saying yes to making a determination, and even maybe, God forbid, being disciplined to make some time in my life and in my schedule to spend time on my knees in prayer, calling out to God, trusting him for his strength for my new year. It's important to have a personal vision. There's a vision from God for your life and your future. Listen, this is something that is true about every one of you today. Regardless of your age, regardless of what you've been through, regardless of where you've come from, the beautiful thing about God, about a vision from God, is that he'll always speak a fresh word for your tomorrow. And he'll take what you've been through, he'll take everything that you've gone through, and he'll build your future upon those things. He'll take what you've been through, he'll take the things that you've gone through, and he'll build your future, your vision. Listen, Acts chapter 2 says that young men and old men should dream dreams and have visions. And this is not a young man's message. If you're in here and you're an experienced saint, a seasoned saint, there's a vision that God has for this next season of your life and faith. And he'll take everything that you've been through and he'll begin to build upon those things. So Preston, God, what's your heart for me in this season? And again, we're turning the calendar. And it's an opportune time to say, God, I'm taking inventory of some things that maybe I did well in 2019 or things that I wish I could do differently. And it's a brand new day. A brand new opportunity to reaffirm some things and rededicate to some things and make some time and space in our life for some things that really matter. And I appreciate that we do that as we turn the new year, but you know, we really have the opportunity to do that every day. Because the Bible says that God's mercies are new, what? Every day. And I think that's a hallmark of spiritual maturity that we ought to look to achieve, is that every day, every moment, every interaction, every conversation, we're taking inventory. Did I live this day in the way that God would call me to have lived it? Are the decisions that I made today the decisions that I want to make tomorrow? But I get it. We get busy and we get caught up in things. So it's great that every year we have the opportunity to turn the calendar, new calendar, fresh calendar, new opportunity, take inventory, take stock, get real with God, reaffirm, rededicate some things. So it's important that you have a personal vision for your life. But the Lord also began to show me that there's a little different angle about vision. There's a vision that is goals and dreams and God's heart for your future, and there's also a vision as it regards the clarity with which we see. And that's a little bit more about what I want to talk with you about today, is that I believe God's calling us in this season and in this day, and it's critical in the day and the hour that we live in to begin to see things, to see the world around us, to see some of the things that are happening in the news, to see the people and the relationships around us through the lens of God's heart and God's word. And that there's a vision that God desires to give us. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a matter of the heart. And I just want to challenge you this morning that vision is more important than sight. And your sight will tend to fade as you grow old. But your vision, if you maintain and you press in and you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and a relationship with God that involves you crying out to God and receiving his heart and hearing his heart and reading his word and writing his word upon your heart, the vision that God gives you can grow sharper with time. Because of the experiences that you've been through. Come on, he'll take those things that the enemy meant for evil. We sang that. He'll take those things and he'll use them for good. Come on, some of you are still standing despite some of the things that the enemy tried to come against you to take you out in 2019. Oh, that's good right there. Come on, look at your neighbor. Look at someone next to you and say, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. You thought I was going to take you out. Well, here you are looking good in 2020. Vision's more important than sight. I'm just telling you, sight fades. Sight can even be stolen or taken from you. But when you get a vision that's written on the inside of your heart, come on, the deeper that you find your source of joy and your source of inspiration and your source of purpose, the harder it is for those people around you to take them. The harder it is for the circumstances around you to affect it. Vision is more important than sight. The Apostle Paul knew it. He wrote to the church of Ephesus, and he said this in Ephesians 1. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. You mean I can see with my heart? Absolutely. There's a gift of sight that we have with our own earthly natural eyes that can fade with time, but there's a gift of vision that God gives us and we see with our heart. I pray, he said, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's called you. He's called you to hope. And the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Come on, that's you and that's me. Now, that's a good promise. And the eyes of your heart to be enlightened, that you may know his hope, that you may know the riches of the inheritance of the saints that you have in this life and the life ever after, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. Come on, there's an empowerment that God wants you to apprehend and begin to see, to do some things differently in 2020. And you know, this is a season for making resolutions. How many of you are making some resolutions? Some things you want to do different or you want to do better in 2020? Come on, it's a good thing. Come on. The more you respond, the quicker you'll get out today, I promise you. Oh, and I saw some of you raised your hand too quick after I said that, you know. That hurts my feelings. The more you respond, the quicker you'll get out. Who has some things that you'd like to do, even if you haven't formally made a resolution? Who has some things you'd like to do different or better in 2020 than you did in 2019? Yeah, there we go. Well, here's what I found out is that as you look into it, 92% of New Year's resolutions will fail, and 80% of them by the end of January. And I got to thinking about it, and maybe it's because more than a resolution, we need a revelation. That an arbitrary goal to lose this amount of weight or to make or save this amount of money or to gain this many friends or whatever, an arbitrary goal based on something that the world sets as a standard is kind of a fleeting thing that doesn't really have impact in our life. But when we get a revelation about something that God has promised, about something that God has made possible for you and me as the men and women of God, we get a revelation from that. That begins, according to Proverbs 29:18, to begin to affect the way we live. We need a revelation, not just a resolution. God, what are you speaking to me? God, what are you calling me to? What are you calling me out of and away from that held me back and that hindered me in 2019? Come on, are you there in Hebrews chapter 12? If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not, you'll see it up on the screen behind me. And it says this in verse 1 and verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And what that's referring to is in the previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, there's an accounting of all these mighty men and women of God, who, by the way, were just normal people, didn't know they were auditioning for the Bible, and had all kinds of problems in their life. I mean, real problems, people that really messed up, blew it a lot. So if you're here in 2019, you blew some things, let me encourage you. You might could even make the Bible if you were alive back in that day. There's hope for you. I mean, you read some of the Hall of Fame of Faith, and it's a bunch of people who had real challenges, real obstacles, real problems, and made real mistakes. But at some point, they turned their life over to a real God, who offers real hope and real forgiveness and real restoration for those things, and a real second chance and a real second start, a new life, the opportunity to even be born again, the Bible says, and have a fresh start and a fresh life. That's what Jesus Christ has to offer to you and to me. So that's what it's talking about, this great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance. Somebody say perseverance. The race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. There's three things that I want to draw out of this scripture this morning. And number one is it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I want to encourage you that as we enter into 2020 to apprehend some things differently, to see some things differently, to experience some different results maybe that God has in his heart for you, we've got to fix our focus. Fix our focus. That maybe there's some things that the world has tried to distract us or discourage us with and to try to draw our attention away from some things that are important to God, that really matters to God. And in this season, the challenge of God is to fix our focus. He says, how do we do this? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, I have corrected vision. These are not just for fashion's sake up here, you know. I mean, I have to have these to be able to see you guys out there. And I kind of take for granted that I just go to the eye doctor and they put you in front of that thing and they do A or B, one or two, two or three, you know, or whatever they use. Come on, how many of you have been there and done that? You know, how many of you are excited about that puff of air they put in your eye? You know, that's always a good day, you know. I'm sorry, I'm battling a little bit of a cold here. I about got myself worked up there. That's why I have a little cup of tea up here, hot tea instead of my normal bottle of water. So I hope you'll grace me to take a sip every now and then. Take more than a chest cold to keep me from coming and fulfilling my purpose today. And I get to coughing, some of you be like, well, maybe you should reconsider that idea. You know, maybe you should have stayed home this morning. But I sort of take for granted that I just go in there and they do those tests, and then I walk out of there with these glasses that I put on my face, and it allows me to see perfectly clearly. 2020, in fact, better than 2020. And you dig into it and you see what these things are really doing, and it's affecting, it's altering the way that light enters into your eye. What I'm seeing, these colors and all your beautiful, handsome faces, what I'm seeing, I'm seeing it clearly because I'm putting on something that is affecting the way that I perceive light in the natural sense, in the physiological sense. And I'm just telling you that there's an invitation and there's a call to us in this day and this hour. And I said it earlier, bears repeating, it's critical in this day and this hour. I really believe it. With the election coming up and all the things and wars and rumors of wars and all those things, it is vital that we as the people of God begin to see the world around us through the lens of God's word. And I just tell you, there's a lot of different opinions and perspectives about the world around you, and there's a lot of opportunities and invitations for you to adopt a certain lens about how to see the world around you. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you might know the hope that we have as the people of God, and that you might know this inheritance that you have. I mean, all these things that are stored up in God's heart for you, and he's ready to release them to you right now, real time, today. And that you might know this power that I've made possible and available to you through Jesus, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that will change the way you live your life, that will cause you to be able to resolve to some things because of a revelation and actually live differently in 2020 than you lived in 2019. That's what God wants you to see. Vision's more important than sight. What's God calling you to see differently this year? What's it look like for you to fix your focus? We do this by, thank you, Apostle Paul, for helping us with this. We do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus. What's that look like for you in 2020? What are the things and the people and the places and the response? Come on, some good, some bad, some indifferent that are drawing your focus away. My wife, Amity, she said this as she was closing the service. I hope you don't mind. I'm stealing your thunder. You can still say it later if you want to, but as she was closing the first service, the 9 a.m. service, she talked about how she just mentioned it kind of in passing, and it just spoke to my heart. She said, sometimes the enemy doesn't have to destroy you. He just has to distract you. Fix your focus. Come on, men of God. Men of God, fix your focus. Take hold of the invitation to be a mighty, courageous man of God who serves his spouse and serves his kids and serves his church and serves his community and makes a difference and brings the light. Women of God, fix your focus. Come on, you are a woman of destiny and purpose, and God has a plan for your life, and everything that he's called you to, even the things that you might think are insignificant, are significant to the heart of God. And someone ought to say, amen. Amen. Fix your focus. Fix your focus. Number two, I want to encourage us to follow through. To follow through. It says, let us run this race. How? With perseverance. And for Amity and I, as we've sought the Lord, and especially to her heart, he's really just spoken that 2020 is a year to do. And that's a personal word for us, but maybe there's something corporate about it as well, or maybe something will resonate in your heart today. There's a time for praying and planning and preparing and seeking and searching out. Maybe you're always doing that to some degree for some area of your life, but the word of God to us for 2020 is that some of the things I've spoken to you, some of the things I've called you to, it's a year to follow through. He says, let us run this race with perseverance. Come on, it's about going beyond believing and beginning to live out this thing called faith in Jesus Christ in a way that compels us to stand up and speak up and say yes to God. Come on, he's no respecter of persons. He'll use anyone to change the world who will just say yes to the call of God upon their life. And that's the opportunity that we have as a church
Say yes. Yes, God. We'll say yes. Yes, God. We believe that Lawrence can be saved. Yes, God. We believe that Lawrence can be revived. Yes, God. We believe and we say yes to you. It's time to follow through, to take action. He says, let us run. Let us run. Let us run. Come on, put our feet to the thing that God's put in our heart. Let us run. What's that look like for you? I'm going to ask you that question multiple times today. What's it look like for you to fix your focus? What's it look like for you to begin to follow through on some things maybe that God has spoken to you? And maybe you've been too busy, or maybe you've been distracted, or maybe you've kind of put something out there before God. Well, God, as soon as they call me, I'll get after it. Or as soon as I have that amount of money put into savings, I'll take the trip. Or as soon as I whatever, I'll start the ministry or whatever. Maybe God's calling you today to step out in faith. Maybe it's a year to follow through on some things. What's that look like for you? Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a vision. Maybe it's a calling. Maybe it's starting a prayer group at your school or a part of, or gathering your sports team to have a Bible study. Or what's it look like for you? Maybe it's making a phone call just to begin the process of forgiveness and reconciliation with someone that's near and dear to you and to the heart of God. I said, well, I'll get around to it later. I'll get around to it later. Do you know one of the number one things? We talked about the enemy sometimes doesn't have to destroy you. He can just distract you. Sometimes the enemy, one of the greatest things that I believe and I see keeps people and myself, by the way, from accomplishing everything that God has called us to is just the scheme of procrastination. I mean, really, someday I'll get around to saying yes to God. Someday I'll serve. Can I just tell you, when you allow that to become the standard for which you'll say yes or no to the things that God has called you to and the things that really matter to God in your life, you've just established a standard for the enemy. He knows that's exactly how busy he has to get you and keep you to keep you from saying yes to God. And you might as well just buckle up because you've just said, as long as I stay this busy, I'm not available to what God has called me to. Maybe in this season, there's a whole new life of intimacy with God and of awareness of your identity and of confidence about this inheritance that you have and of this empowerment, which is by the grace of God that he's invited us to walk in as the men and women of God. Maybe there's a whole nother level when we begin to just say, today's the day I say yes to God and his call on my life. What's that look like for you? What's it look like for you as it regards the dreams and the things that God's put in your life? What's it look like for you as it regards coming and helping us as a church, as Rev City, to do what God has called us to do and to be who God has called us to be, to shine brightly a beacon of hope and light and freedom and forgiveness to this community and to our entire region? What's it look like for you to say yes to those things? We got to fix our focus. Come on, say it. Fix your focus. And we got to follow through. Say that. Follow through. Follow through. It's a time for doing. James 1, verse 22, says, be doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving yourselves. The New Living Translation says it even more clearly. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. God, what's your vision for my life and for my future? I've heard your voice. I believe you're calling me. Now show me my part. What's my first step? And I tell you guys this often, and it always is true. The most important step is always the first step. Just take a step. Just take a step. One of the steps I want to encourage you to take is there's a card that's in their seat back right in front of you that's about praying and fasting in 2020. What do I do with my card? I need one of those. Will someone be so kind as to hook me up with one here? And I want to ask you right now, find that card in your seat back, and I want you to actually put it and hold it within your hands right now as we're talking about this. The most important step is the first step and the next step. And I want to encourage you to take a step towards God, more of God. There's more of God for you this year, I promise you. There's very few things that I can say with certainty in a room this size, but I'm telling you with certainty, there's more of God. There's more of God's heart and more of his promises that he desires to reveal to you and in you and through you in 2020 than maybe you even imagine. There is more of God. Whether you're a seasoned saint and you've been serving him for decades, or whether you're here this morning just searching out God, is there really a God and does he really love me? I'm telling you, there's more of God for you in 2020. But the Lord spoke it to me this way, and it resonated with me. Hopefully it sticks with you, that to experience the more that God has in store, we have to say yes to the new he's leading us to. He's calling you to some new things. He's calling you to more, but maybe you're going to have to make some different decisions. Maybe you're going to have to look at your calendar and your schedule. Maybe you're going to have to look at the way you go about your day and say, God, I want more of you in my life in 2020. And so to make room for that, I'm going to be willing to do some things that are new in 2020. And maybe you've never been a part of something like this, but I want to encourage you. Take part in this. I want to encourage you. Take this and put it somewhere that's important or that's very visible to you. Put it in your Bible or put it on your nightstand or tape it up on the vanity mirror of your restroom or put it on your refrigerator or next to your coffee pot on a little, lean it up against your coffee pot or wherever it is that you'll see it every morning where you can join in unity with 800 or 900 of us who are going to come together and pray for God to move in these areas. And we've tried to help you out every day of these 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're just proposing one topic that in unity we'll all pray into and believe that God is going to move in that situation. And just watch what God does. Come on, just take a step. I'm telling you, maybe to experience the more that God has in store, you got to say yes to the new that he's calling you to. A new season, a new place, some new disciplines, some new things. Whereas before, maybe you would see this thing and you would say, well, I'll just let the spiritual people deal with that. Maybe today God's calling you, man of God, to really take this and just make 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes in your life and say yes to praying and partnering with God and saying yes to being willing to fast, which is really just setting something aside to make room for God in your life. To say, Lord, for 21 days, maybe that time that I generally give to social media in the morning or at night, I'll be willing to, for 21 days, say no to that so I can say yes to you. And I'll put this thing in my hand and I'll call out upon your name on behalf of our church and our city and our nation and marriages and families and our children and our young people. I'll set something aside to say yes to you. Maybe it's a meal that you would be willing to fast, to fast lunch for 21 days and take that time and go to your office and take 30 or 45 minutes and instead of going out to lunch or accepting the appointment, saying, God, do it for this 21 days, I'm going to go into my office and I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to spend some time just calling out to you and giving you thanks for your faithfulness in my life. There's more that God has in store for you. Listen, what can 2020 look like for you if you'll just say yes to God in a new way, in a deeper way? I'm just telling you, there's more that God has in store. To receive the more he has in store, you got to say yes to the new that he's calling you to. It's a new day. It's a new season. What's it look like to you? What's it look like for you? Take that step. Take that step. The last one that I want to close with this morning and lead us to see the Lord minister to us is finding freedom. And Hebrews chapter 12, again, fix your focus. Follow through and find freedom. And it says that we should throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And I appreciate that the language of the Bible out there just says it's easy for that to happen. It's easy to look up and just realize that there's some stuff that we've said yes to and there's some things that we've got entangled in. And there's some things we never imagined ourselves going there in our heart or in our mind or with our hands. And we've gotten swept up into this. And the call of God in this season to embrace the more he has in store is to say, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. I can't do it in my own strength. Would you forgive me? Would you help me? Would you grace me? Would you strengthen me to say no to some things so that I can say yes to you? To lay these things aside. Again, it says it so easily happens. It happens to every one of us. We need the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. But it's freely available. His mercies are new every day. Find freedom. And lastly, one more scripture. Deuteronomy 20, verse 20. And as the Lord was putting this whole idea, this concept of vision and 2020 vision in my heart, one of the things that I began to just explore is I was saying, all right, God, what are you going to call me to speak and encourage the people with? And one of the ideas that I had that kind of proved to be a bad idea, actually, was to look at building every one of the sermons throughout the month on a scripture that was chapter 20, verse 20. And so I started just reading through the Bible, chapter 20, verse 20, and there were some ones that were just not going to be very fun to preach about to you. So I thought, well, maybe that was a good idea, but not a God idea. But one of the ones that early on, as I was reading through all the chapter 20, verse 20s, and just kind of compiling those and seeing if maybe that's something that God would breathe upon, was Deuteronomy 20, 20. And as I read it, the Lord just immediately began to speak to my heart. And it says this, it's instructions for the people of God about what to do when they're in a battle. And it says this, and I got to give you the full context, I actually got to back up and read verse 19 to you as well. And in verse 19, leading up to 2020, chapter 20, verse 20, it says, when you besiege a city a long time. And I read that in the 9 o'clock service, and the Lord just paused me right there, and I just told me to encourage someone that's been in a battle for a long time. You've been in a battle for a long time. And I'm just telling you, I believe that there's a new season, a new opportunity, a new invitation. There's a victory. There's a that you're going to see this year. And part of it is because of your response to God in a new way or a fresh way to make room for him. But be encouraged. There's some people who have been in a battle for a long time. And it says this, when you besiege a city a long time to make war against it in order to capture it, and there's some places and promises that God's going to deliver you to this year. Places that he's spoken, and there's the enemy's been opposing and resisting and trying to discourage you or trying to cause fear in your heart towards entering in and towards apprehending. There's some things you're going to apprehend this year, some promises you're going to receive and take a hold of this year. And it says, you shall not destroy its trees by swinging an axe against them. When you go up against the city and fight these long battles, these places that are opposing you from entering into the promises of God, that's symbolically what this is speaking to us on this side of the cross. And it says, you are not to destroy its trees by swinging an axe against them, for you may eat from them, and you shall not cut them down, for is the tree of the field a man that it should be besieged by you? And here's where we get to 2020. Only the trees which you know are not fruit trees, you shall destroy and cut down. That you may construct siege works against the city, or other words, make weapons out of the very things that are not fruitful in your life, against the city that is making war with you until it falls. And there's some strongholds and some mindsets and some patterns and some things that are going to fall down this year for you. The Lord just began to speak to me and just show me. He said, cut down the things that are unfruitful. That's what it's saying. It's saying when you go in, be careful that you don't cut down just anything. Be careful that you cut down only the things that are unfruitful. And what's it look like for you to say, God, what's been fruitful in my life? What are the relationships and what are the priorities and what are the things I schedule and value and commit myself to that are fruitful in my life? What are the things that you're calling me to cut ties with, leave behind, say no to so that I can say yes to you? What's that look like for you? If you'll be real with God, if you'll get real with God, I mean, really, what he's saying right there is, I'll take that very thing, that unfruitful place, that unfruitful situation, and I'll fashion it into a weapon that allows you to gain a new level of victory that I'm calling you to. Stand to your feet this morning. Let's just respond to God and prepare to worship. Thank you, Lord. Right where you stand, I just want you to ask God. Just ask him. Just say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Right there, just in your spirit. Just ask him and just watch. He'll begin to speak to you. He loves you so much, man. He cares way more deeply than I'm caring about it as I preach to you this morning. God cares about the future that he has for you. And he knows some of the things that you've been through. And he knows some of the struggles. And he knows some of those places that are holding you back or hindering you from running the race that he's called you to run with perseverance. And so just ask him, come on, right there where you are. Come on, let's give the Lord some space to speak to us this morning before we worship and dismiss you. Just say, what right there under your spirit, what Lord, what are you speaking to me? How are you calling me to fix my focus on Jesus this year? What are the things that have been distracting me or keeping me from really giving myself fully to what you've called me to do, and more importantly, who you've called me to be? You start getting that right, becoming who God's called you to be, you'll start to fulfill and do the things he's called you to do. And the world focuses on all those things as we make resolutions, you know, this amount of money or this number or whatever. And if you just focus on Jesus and becoming more like Jesus, oh, you just watch how all those other things, that's what Matthew 6:33 means. Seek first the kingdom of God, all these things that he knows you need will be added to you. Just focus in 2020, Lord, more of you. Help me to fix my focus on you. And just ask him, Lord, how do I do that? Help me to see how I do that. Help me to see more clearly. Help me to see some things more clearly this year. And Lord, how do I follow through on some things? Maybe some things you've called me to. Maybe they're from a long time ago and you're reminding me of some things. Or maybe even today, under the anointing of this message, God's just speaking some new things to you today. And we thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to people because you have a plan of action. There are steps that you're going to empower and call us as the people of God to begin to take towards some things in 2020. And thank you, Lord, that you're just going to speak to us and you're going to grace us and show us, Lord, how to do it with your strength and with your empowerment and your grace, Lord. And when we stumble, when we fall, when we blow it, Lord, thank you that a righteous man falls number of times, but he gets right back up again and keeps moving forward because your hand upholds him. And we thank you for that, Lord. And then, Lord, we thank you that there's an invitation to find freedom in any place, any area, any relationship, any pattern of behavior, anything that has not been fruitful in our life, Lord. We thank you that you would show it to us this morning, that we might say no to those things so we can say yes to you in the name of Jesus. And lastly, before we worship and dismiss, if you're here this morning and you're far from God, your heart has been far from God, and maybe you once knew God, maybe you grew up in the church, maybe you're a prodigal son or daughter, I mean, you've just been running from God, or maybe life just got busy and you look up and you realize, man, I've drifted from what really matters, and I've drifted from knowing God and serving God and living for God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never received, I mean, it's an amazing feeling to receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and all the weight of guilt and sin and shame lifted off of your shoulders, and only a way that can happen by the grace of God and that we receive by faith. And if that's you, you're a prodigal son or daughter, you've never received the forgiveness of Jesus. If that's you this morning, I want you to quickly, don't delay, just respond by lifting your hand high towards heaven. High towards your heavenly Father who's calling you, who's wooing you, who's calling you back home into a relationship with him this morning that transcends religion. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand high towards heaven. Thank you, Lord, for those precious ladies right there. Come on, just, yeah, keep those hands lifted high towards heaven and high towards your heavenly Father. He loves you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people right here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing these hands that are being lifted represent hearts that are being turned and softened. And it represents sons and it represents daughters coming home to you. It represents forgiveness of sins. It represents a washing away of some old things. It represents a new start and a fresh start, a clean slate. Come on, that's what Jesus came to give us. He said we could be born again. It's not just 2019 that we're turning the page from. It's anything and everything that you ever went through that wasn't God's best for you. And he's washed it away and he's made you clean and made you whole. And today you stand washed and renewed and ready for a fresh start and a new life. That's what you're responding to today. And that's what God's doing in your heart. One more moment. We took a little extra time in the 9 o'clock service and more people just continue to respond and say yes to Jesus. That's you this morning. Just one more opportunity, one more moment. Just lift your hand high towards heaven. You're not responding to me. You're responding to God. And then we're going to pray with you and for you. Thank you, Lord, for this precious young lady right there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for hearts healed and restored today. Thank you, Lord, for sons and daughters coming home. And so now here's what we're going to do. And we do this every week. You guys realize how important that moment is right now for these precious people? I mean, isn't it amazing? Someone says yes to God. Just think about everything that's happening in their heart and in their life and all the way. We sing that you're rewriting our history and our destiny. It's what's happening when people respond to Jesus. Man, I'm just so grateful and thankful. We pray this together every week, and there's a couple reasons why we do it. One is just to come alongside these people that were courageous enough to raise their hands, and just a small way for us to just say we want to come around you and be your church family and encourage you in your new relationship with God. And two is because it reminds us we never graduate from grace. We pray this together every week because we realize we need Jesus as much in 2020 as we did in 2019. Amen? So come on, with the many people that lifted their hands and responded to God this morning, can we pray this with everything we have? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you my life. I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, because of the cross and the risen life of Jesus, I'll never be the same. Come on, say it again. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord and for those precious people that responded this morning. Come on, let's worship him. Let's worship him and then we'll dismiss.